The aerobic portion of the service is now complete, so you can sit and rest for a while. So was the theme of the music rather evident? There is a connection with the land, the people, and the return of Messiah. So Israel in 70 years, there is no relationship between a people and a land so connected than that of the Jewish people and Eretz Israel. Part of the covenant Adonai makes with Abraham is the giving of land. He not only says, you will be my people and I will be your God, but Genesis 17:7, I am establishing my covenant between me and you, along with your descendants after you. Along with your descendants after you means what?
Forever,
yes, but an inheritance of the land. Generation after generation as an everlasting covenant to be God for you and for your descendants after you. I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are now foreigners. All the land of Canaan as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. Talking about God to his descendant, to the descendants of, at this point, Abraham. A land that is so prominent within the history of Israel as a people and a nation. So prominent that Israel's occupancy of the land is conditional to their faithfulness in keeping the conditions of the covenant. Exodus chapter 19. Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain. Here is what you are to say to the household of Yaakov and tell the people of Israel. This is before they enter the land. Approximately 40 years before they enter the land. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel, a nation of priests, a land, a nation set apart. In order to be a nation, you need land. And all the people answered as one, everything Adonai has said we will do. Moses reported these words of the people to Adonai, for which when the people of Israel observed the covenant Adonai made with them, they resided safely in the land. Chapter 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy address the benefits with being faithful to the covenant, while also addressing the consequences for being unfaithful to the covenant. I'm not going to go through all of Deuteronomy 27 and 28, but let me just give you the first few verses. Then Moses and all the leaders of Israel gave orders to the people. They said, observe all the mitzvot I am giving you today. They are speaking based on what God had told them earlier. When you cross the Jordan to the land Adonai your God is giving you, you are to set up large stones, put plaster on them, and after crossing over, write this Torah on them every word, so that you can enter the land Adonai your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Adonai the God of your ancestors promised you. Sort of like having the signs that you see coming into a state. Welcome to Maine. The way life should be. Vacation land. I was just thinking about that one. I know there's a second one. Yet when they enter the land, God's Torah is right there. And in essence, revealing what they are to do when they enter the land. So, possessing the land is conditional. Residing in the land and the safety was conditional. Yet what would transpire was not unanticipated by Adonai. It did not come as a surprise. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 1, when the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessings and the curse, which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations. If you're there among the nations, it means there was a problem in the land. Basically, God removed them from the land. When the blessing and the curse come upon you, he in essence is not saying, oh, well, you're going to fail regardless, but knowing our character as a fallen people in general, it would likely lead to expulsion from the land. Both the blessing and the curse which I have presented to you, and you are among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. Anybody have flashbacks to their childhood where you get punished by your parent? And before the days of internet and all the gadgets that are in your bedroom, you go to your bedroom and there's really nothing there except maybe some books to read. And then you start thinking about what it was you did. When you are removed from the land, God is saying, then you will start thinking about what got you away from the land. There was a time when Israel was blessed and primarily faithful as a nation to Adonai and his covenant. Yet there would be a time when they would not be. First resulting in a divided kingdom, then expulsion from the land, first of the northern kingdom, then later of the second kingdom, or the southern kingdom. We're not talking about something that happened overnight. Solomon's reign ended in 970 before the Common Era. For those of you keeping track, that's nearly 3,000 years ago. And upon his death, there was, in essence, a civil war occurring within Israel, to where the kingdom would be divided into two. The northern, comprising 10 tribes. The southern, comprising two, plus the Levites. Then you have exile from the land of the northern kingdom occurring in 722 before the Common Era. Approximately 250 years between the two. Then exile from the land of the southern kingdom occurred in 586 before the Common Era. So between the time of the kingdom being divided and the time of the second expulsion, this time of the southern kingdom, we're talking 400 years. Approximately 400 years. At the time of the southern kingdom exile, there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, whose mantle as prophet lasted 40 years, constantly and consistently warning Judea to return to God. Yet as a nation, they did not listen. So nearly 400 years from a united kingdom to exile, further emphasizing just how patient Adonai is. Exodus 34, Adonai passed before him and proclaimed his name. And he said, God is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offenses, crimes, and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even to the third and fourth generation. God was merciful. He waited for them to turn back to him. 400 years just shows how patient God is. If we define a generation as 40 years, that's 10 generations of patience. If we talk about a lifetime, 80 years, that's five generations, five lifetimes of patience. To where this prophet Jeremiah conveyed what the consequences of Judea's transgressions would be. Jeremiah 25, starting in verse 8. Therefore, here is what Adonai says. Because you haven't paid attention to what I've been saying, I'm going to send for all the families of the north, says Adonai, and for my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. He's going to send for his servant, the king of Babylon, and bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them, making them an object of horror and ridicule, a perpetual ruin. Moreover, I will silence among them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bridegroom and bride, the grinding of millstones, and the light of lamps. Keeping in mind, he's not talking about removing them entirely from the face of the earth, but in essence, that what would remain of the people in the land would be gone. This entire land will become a ruin, a waste, and these nations will serve the king of Babel for 70 years. 70 years. How many people are under the age of 70? Your lifetime. Notice I didn't go the other way. But keeping in mind, the other way, people who are 70 or over, Israel becoming a nation again happened in your lifetime. Yet this punishment did not mean then, and doesn't mean today, that Adonai was done with Israel. Jeremiah 29:10. For here is what Adonai says. After Babel's 70 years are over, I will remember you and fulfill my good promise to you by bringing you back to this place, back to the land. For I know what plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai, plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have hope and a future. When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek for me wholeheartedly. And I will let you find me, says Adonai. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and bring you back to the place from which I exiled you. He's not taking them to anywhere in Africa. He's not taking them to America. He's not taking them anywhere but where they were exiled from. From which you left, you will return. And keep in mind this, not a day sooner, nor a day later, would Adonai move. That is until 2 Chronicles 36:21. Thus was fulfilled the word of Adonai spoken by Jeremiah. This is from Chronicles. Until the land has been paid her Shabbats, for as long as it lay desolate, it kept Shabbat until 70 years had passed. Not a day sooner, not a day later. I've shared with you many times God's timing as perfection. To realize this, there are many examples in Scripture. Yet today, 70 years no longer is prominent and exclusively related to the exile anymore. We were in exile for 70 years, 70 years, 70 years. This past week, Israel celebrated its 70th year as a nation. And I will say this, I believe that they will no longer be removed from the land ever again. On this day, Iyar 4 on the Hebrew calendar, 70 years ago, as authorized by the United Nations, David Ben-Gurion, who would be the first prime minister of Israel, declared the establishment of the Jewish state of Israel and became the nation's first prime minister, with the United States being the first nation to recognize Israel's declared independence. A day into which the prophet Isaiah spoke. Whoever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Is a country born in a day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Zion went into labor, she brought forth her children. How many mothers would like to hear that? Isaiah 66:8. From an article written by Gordon Robertson, and I have the link in my notes, which when it's online, you'll be able to read the entire article. He writes this: the anniversary of Israel's independence from Britain is also a day of denunciation from many countries opposed to Israel's existence. Since this day is known to Arabs as Al-Nakba, the catastrophe is how it's translated, and is the day the Arab nations surrounding Israel declared war against this newborn state in 1948, and that they were determined to wipe them off the map. Keeping in mind, you couldn't wipe off the map what wasn't already on the map to begin with. Keeping in mind, they weren't trying to wipe them off the map. They were trying to, in essence, remove the Jewish people from the face of the earth. And then he writes this: Israel's existence inspires visceral response from people, both positive and negative. People either see it as a bastion of stability and democracy, or a cause of instability and radicalization. Israel are radicals. Yet, we don't talk about radical Jews, we talk about radical Islam. Anyways, at minimum, there are two perspectives to any one situation. Israel's existence inspired visceral responses from people, both positive and negative. People either see them as a bastion of stability and democracy or cause of instability and radicalization. You hear about the conflict in the Middle East. Basically, Israel against everyone, or everyone against Israel, depending on how you want to frame it. You hear about the Palestinian oppression at the hands of Israel. Yet how often do you hear about the bombs being lobbed from Palestinian territory, from the Gaza Strip, constantly, over the wall, into the desert, constantly? You hear more about the negative narrative than the positive. So much so this week, anybody ever hear the name Natalie Portman? A dual citizen of Israel and the United States, an Academy Award-winning actress, declined to receive an honor from the Israeli government known as the Genesis Prize. Declined. The Oscar-winning actress, Natalie Portman, said she chose not to attend a ceremony in Israel to accept a $1 million prize because she did not want to be seen as supporting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was scheduled to speak at the event. The award she declined, the Genesis Prize, has been awarded since 2014 to individuals for excellence in their professional fields and who inspire others their dedication to the Jewish community and Jewish values. Yet with all this negative surrounding Israel and the Jewish people, approaching from many different angles, you have the BDS movement, the boycott, divest, and sanctioning movement, originated by Palestinians, yet is now supported by many Christian groups. The United Nations No other nation within the United Nations has been sanctioned more times by the Security Council than Israel. And we're talking North Korea, we're talking Iran, we're talking China, we're talking Russia. You add all four of those up, they still don't add up to the number of times Israel has been sanctioned. And then you have the many Muslim countries that surround them. But keeping in mind, there is a tide that's turning. For Saudi Arabia to not speak out against Israel when they are defending themselves with what's going on in Syria. For Egypt having entered into a peace accord. For Jordan having entered into a peace accord both with Israel. Has ever such a small country impacted the world on such a grand scale? Setting aside the scriptural significance for a moment, which I've already given you and I'll finish up with as well. What has this tiny bastion of democracy in a region immersed by principalities contributed to the world? Let me give you a few. Treatments for both Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. The development of interferon cells used for the treatment of many types of cancers. The world's smallest DNA computing machine system composed of enzymes and DNA molecules capable of performing simple mathematical calculations and which uses its input DNA molecule as the sole source of energy. A self-sustaining little computer powered by its own DNA. Flash drive. This one has 64 gigabytes of memory on what is the size of my thumb. I am dating myself here, and the geek in me is coming out. The Intel 8088 microprocessor. None of you have any idea what I'm probably talking about. It was the first processor used in the IBM XT, the first prominently sold desktop computer. It was developed in Israel in the 80s. And technically, Intel is the foundation for most computing today. Much of the technology you are holding in your hand, otherwise known as your cell phone or your smartphone, comes from Israel. The Iron Dome missile defense system. How many of you have heard of it? Basically, it can sense when missiles are coming from outside of the land, and it senses and fires and, in essence, destroys in the air incoming missiles. I got a couple links on my notes that you can look at other things as well. Not the Iron Dome, we don't. We have a defense system, but not like that. Right. So, Deuteronomy chapter 30, getting back there, verse 3. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God scattered you. Keeping in mind, the nation has been dispersed twice and ultimately has returned twice. This is the final time. Yet Adonai is not done yet. The mere establishment of Israel as a nation, once again, is just the beginning. As prophesied. And you saw it on some of your music today as well. Zechariah 14:4. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west to make a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half will move toward the south. Acts chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12, the men said, You Galileans, why are you standing, staring into space? This Yeshua, who has been taken away from you into heaven, will come back to you in just the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned the Sabbath walk distance from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. They were talking to him on the Mount of Olives. Where you see him leaving, he's going to return to the same place. Let me throw this one in for you. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, and the power in heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, if I'm still in Maine and he returns, I'm back there. And I don't even have to pay for the airfare. For last week during Yom HaShoah, I told you about the significance of the fig tree, that when its leaves start to open, it's ready to start producing fruit. The leaves of the tree are open. Deuteronomy 30, verse 4. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there and get you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verses 4 and 5. He will make you prosper. I just gave you some examples of not only how Israel is prospering, but how it's impacting the world. The first microprocessor used in a commercially accepted computer developed in Israel. This was, in essence, the birth, for lack of another words, of the microprocessor age. Came from Israel. Yet as we stand here today, there are more believers in Messiah living in the land than at any time in history. There are more people living in the land. God said that he would remove the stoniness from their hearts, and then he would bring them into the land, then he would remove the stoniness of their hearts. Verse 6, then Adonai your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your children so that you will love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your being, and thus you will live. This is a work in progress that's going on from the moment they became a nation again till this day until Messiah returns. But keeping in mind, back in Matthew 24, it says that when he comes, the tribes will mourn. Those of the land will mourn. Those who have not yet come to believe in Messiah will recognize who he is. No question. And they will grieve. It's like, Lord, we have sinned against you. We have denied you. Yet they will repent and return. And then there's other things that I have in my notes. I'm just going to go over a couple things. For their size as a nation, Israel is an extremely joyful giver. From Innovation Africa to Save a Child's Heart to Springs of Hope Foundation to IsraAid to even the IDF, all of these things have impacted the nations. Regardless of what they think of them. Let me read one to you. Save a Child's Heart, an Israeli-based international humanitarian project that provides life-saving heart surgery and follow-up care for children from developing countries. The group gives these children free medical care regardless of their nationality, religion, color, gender, or financial status. Can anybody say that about supporting Israel? The litmus test is, well, we don't support Israel. Well, they're bad because of this or that. I read a comment about the negative aspect of the United States supporting Israel over 10 years and $38 billion in aid. Yet keeping in mind, there is no greater relationship between men than Israel and the United States. Can't even say that about Canada and the United States anymore. But anyways, with all the good Israel does, in spite of the negative press, first and foremost, they are a nation and a people by which Messiah will return. And to quote a slogan, or a couple of slogans from Hebrew National, who answer to a higher power, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Two T's, not one. So if everybody will please rise. Adonai said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yayer Adonai panevlecha v'yihunecha, Yisei Adonai panevlecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest his presence to you and give you peace. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to your covenant and to your promises. And in so doing, it can only mean one thing, that you are faithful in your return. It's not a question of if, but it's a question of when, because no one knows the hour or the day. But Lord, we continue faithfully expecting your return, expanding the kingdom to anyone who desires to be part of it, Lord. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Those who are going to conference up front, everyone else, chairs go around the table. We will do Kiddush in about 5 minutes.